Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Thursday, May 28th, 2020. Right now we have Assistant GM of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, on the line. J.J., good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Stephen. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much for your time again. And before we talk baseball and some of the normal things that we talk about with you, I wanted to change the topic just a little bit, because I was reading through some things yesterday about one of my favorite players ever, Yordano Ventura, and realized that it will be his birthday next week on June 3rd, and that'll happen before we get a chance to talk to you again. And I thought maybe we could just take this opportunity, if you wouldn't mind telling us a story or two about Yordano Ventura, because we can never think about 2014 and 2015 without thinking about Yordano Ventura. And he was, you know, if I had to name my five favorite players from those two teams, he's in my top five, and we'll never forget what he meant to those baseball teams. So I would just like to hear maybe a story or two from you, as you knew him so well, about the late Yordano Ventura.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing to think about how many postseason games he got to pitch in it at such a young age. But there's really two that come to mind. One, I think our fans can identify with, because he was such a good competitor. But, you know, it was after we lost Game 5 in San Francisco. We were on the plane going back to Kansas City, you know, on the verge of elimination, and you're worried, you've got to get to Game 7 somehow. Let's just get to Game 7. And as I got on the plane, Yordano happened to be sitting just to my left, and I looked over, and he just looked over at me and smiled, and just like nothing was going on. I mean, it was just, he was going to win Game 6. I mean, it was at that moment, I wasn't worried about Game 6. I was thinking about Game 7, because there was such an air of confidence that he had. He was such a good competitor. And, of course, he went out in Game 6 and just dominated that game. I think we won 10-0 that game, and it was probably the signature game of his career. But we knew the night before, at least I felt in my heart the night before, that we were going to get to Game 7. And then the other one that people may not know him as well this way, but we had a young pitcher in our system named Miguel Almonte, who a lot of us thought was going to be the next Yordano Ventura. And Miguel was our pitcher of the year in the minor leagues. And Yordano had just gotten to the major leagues in September, and we have our awards night. And Yordano, you know, really, without us asking, you know, just showed up at a dinner the previous night just to take care of Miguel. You know, he wasn't going to let Miguel go through that night without somebody to interpret for him, be by his side. And it just showed the caring heart that Yordano had for his young fellow Dominican pitcher. And it was a pretty cool moment. And I always remember those two moments when I think about Yordano.
JJ, one of the memories I have of him too, I think a lot of people in Kansas City, is the Futures game at the All-Star game, which was like right before, you know, that young wave of players came up to turn you guys into the championship team that you would become. What do you remember about him as not amateur, but as a prospect? And I don't know if you have any specific memories from the Futures game or anything like that that takes you back to, because like you mentioned, you have hopes and dreams about a lot of guys that don't always turn out to become great. But what do you remember about what you thought of Yordano during that time?
Well, that Futures game was a memorable one for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, it was in Kansas City, and we also had Jake Odorizzi and Will Myers in that game. And you know, Odorizzi and Ventura got to face go against one another in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a great weekend. That was the first time during my time in Kansas City you could really see how our city would embrace baseball, you know, if we could get a winning product on the field. It was just a fun weekend. But Yordano just had fun. He just had fun competing. You know, that game was a great example. We were probably more nervous for him and the other two than he was. But you always just remember his smile. He just smiled all the time. And it was an infectious smile. And that game, I think it was just 1 year later, you know, he was up in the big leagues in September. And, you know, he was a lot closer to the major leagues than I think we realized at that time. But he just had a way of competing that, you know, you wish all pitchers, all players would compete. It's a fearlessness. And Yordano always had that fearlessness about him. And even back to when he first got to the States and pitched in the Arizona Rookie League, he and one other Dominican pitcher were the two best pitchers on the team. The other pitcher was more physical, bigger kid, easier to say. He had a bigger upside because Yordano was so skinny, but Yordano just quickly passed him by and was on his way to the big leagues much quicker than he would have thought, just because he was, you know, just kind of slight in nature. But that arm was pretty amazing, lightning quick arm.
You know, when you think about Yordano as the prospect and then coming into his own and what he could have been, and as Nate said, you have all these hopes and dreams with all these different pitching prospects, and the most important thing you have to have is health. They have to stay healthy. But then you talk about intangibles that separate prospects from each other, and a couple of times you've referenced, and I think one of the things we all grew to love about him was how competitive he was and the fearlessness, that competitive streak that he had in him. And clearly physically he was gifted, but is that really what separated him? Because I remember thinking that, man, I had that gut feeling that he was going to have his best year in 2017, and he was really going to start to come into his own and mature fully as a pitcher. But is that what separated him from some of the other prospects that came around at his time through the organization, that competitive fire and how fearless he was?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And that can be said about a lot of guys, but, you know, we have a lot of pitchers we have over, you know, my 14, 15 seasons here that have great arms, great breaking balls, but they're missing something. They're, you know, not that, and it's not a character thing. It's just their competitive spirit. And when guys have that competitive spirit and that fearlessness, that is going to be what separates them. And I think, you know, we all saw how opponents, you know, would get worked up, you know, when Yordano was pitching. And I think his teammates understood him really well. And we, you know, we had a lot of tumultuous times that season, you know, after we won the World Series, because we had a target on our back. But he was not scared of having that target on his back, you know. And you know, that's leadership in a different form. You know, it's not necessarily how you draw it up. But we understood who he was and what fueled him. And there wasn't a hitter or a team that he was afraid of facing, you know. And I wish we could teach that to players. It's just something that's, you know, in their hearts and in their minds. And he had it. And that is clearly, I think, what separated him from others that maybe were as talented as he was, that he came through the minor league system with.
We're visiting with J.J. Piccolo, and J.J., let's transition now to current events. And I know you can't really talk about the collective bargaining agreement negotiations, nor would it be productive to do so. But I do want to ask you just about what life is like in a front office right now, because, for example, I heard Peter Vermes, who is the coach and basically GM for Sporting Kansas City, he said yesterday, look, it would be great to have a date that we knew this is when things are going to restart, because then we could start to schedule things out and prepare to build up to that date. But right now we don't have that. So we're kind of trying to just do things to stay as ready as possible. There's so much up in the air for Major League Baseball right now. What is it like for you right now? And how are you guys, I guess, to me, it's kind of hard to schedule out your day when you don't have a specific end goal in mind that you know you're trying to accomplish things for. So how are you scheduling out your day right now? How are you guys handling that situation?
Well, we've deployed all of our coaches. I mean, you have your major league staff that's handling all the players that were still in major league camp. And then we have our minor league staff that is communicating daily with our our pitchers and our hitters. And our approach has just been just plain transparency. You know, guys, we don't know what the date's going to look like, what the season's going to look like. But here's what we think you need to do. And, you know, we probably spend a greater amount of time in strategic planning with pitching in particular, because these pitchers are throwing side sessions. Most of them are not throwing to any hitters right now. You know, and it's okay, do we put our foot down on the gas and tell them to start facing hitters? And in the minor league, for minor league pitchers, you know, do we pull them back because we don't think their start date's going to be as soon as the major league start date? So there's been a lot of strategic planning in the pitching department. The hitters are, you know, a little bit easier in planning, but a little bit more difficult to get the challenge for them, because they're in isolation. Most of them, they don't have somebody to throw to them. They don't have fields accessible. Some kids are more fortunate than others, depending on where they live. So the intensity of the hitting is more difficult right now if we're training. But once we get back, hitters will get on track faster than pitchers, because pitchers simply have to have that buildup to go from, you know, 30 pitches to 45 to 60 and so forth. So, you know, they're really two different things, even though they're all going to be on the same field. But it's transparency with our players. And then, you know, individually, guys are different. Some guys can get ready really fast, and we got to communicate that to them. And then some guys, it takes time. And we know when they get back, they're not going to be ready in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They need more in the 5 to 6 week range. So it is difficult, you know, and I can understand where Peter's coming from in the soccer world, because, you know, in our businesses, you know, we are planners. You know, we have a calendar and we adhere to these calendars. And right now, when you don't know the start date, it's hard to build out that calendar. The good news is we've done it for so long that once we get going, we'll put it together. And
Jake, I think we may have lost JJ on the line, and so we can see if we can clean that up and then finish our conversation with Royals assistant GM JJ Piccolo, who has joined us pretty much every week during the past couple of months. Nate, you can go ahead with your last question for JJ.
Yeah, sorry we had you cut off there, JJ. The last thing I wanted to ask you about, you're talking about all these preparations. We've talked a lot about the fact that the draft is scheduled to be so much shorter than what it has been in the past. And we know that there have been some great baseball players that have helped you win World Series, and players like Whit Merrifield that would not be drafted. So there's going to be a lot of talent out there. And I find it interesting that this happens at the same time that a lot of teams have been slashing their scouting departments over the past several years. And I'm curious, does this put teams that maybe have not done that in any sort of better position to go out there and be engaged with the players that might not get drafted to find some of that talent that could turn out to be great Major League Baseball players someday?
Well, you would think so, because after the draft, there's going to be a very competitive market for players that didn't get drafted. And the scouts who know those players the best are the area scouts. You know, they more often than not have been the first contact with a prospect, whether it be high school or college. So when you're trying to sign players after the draft, the area scouts are a vital piece, you know, to that process. So I do think there will be a competitive advantage for the clubs that have their scouts working, which we're one of. And, you know, we expect to sign good players after the draft. And that's always been the goal, and that won't change.
JJ, as always, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and thanks for sharing a couple of stories about your Donald Ventura just a few days before his birthday on June 3rd. And we will talk to you again real soon, JJ. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
That is JJ Piccolo. Let's take a break. Let Nate powder his nose and get himself ready. Adjust himself for Matt Beisler.
Yeah.
Coming up. So the captain, Matt Beisler. Jake, stop texting me during the show right now. Put your phone down. You could text me, but the text that you sent on this text thread, that's not acceptable to me.
You started it.
I didn't start that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said that you
I'm talking about the horse thread.
Oh.
I've not
you
been
guys
a part
have been
of that.
Horsing around.
I shouldn't say you can text
Sam's
me
fault.
The text me and you have, that's fine. When you send that, whatever.
That was Sam.
I don't need to see that.
That was Mellinger.
Yeah, Sam started that.
Mellinger.
Yeah, but then you guys are replying.
I told him to stop bothering us. I said we're professional We're professional broadcasters trying to broadcast on the radio, and we don't even be bothered by hack columnists.
Well, I did. I was bothered by that because I made the mistake of looking down.
Yes.
During the interview, and I just stopped.
Stop it, Sam. We're trying to do a live radio show.
I did not need to see that horse doing that.
Well, we can thank Guapo for.
For
putting that on Twitter.
I'm not thanking anyone for that.
Yeah, I'll thank Guapo for that.
Right,
Wapple.
Let's take a break and talk to the captain after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.